May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be pleasing and acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our Rock and Redeemer. Amen. You may be seated. Last Sunday, we started a series that I titled Doctrine Matters. And what we're doing is going through the epistle readings for the next few Sundays in the book of Romans. And last Sunday, we talked about the doctrine of sin. What does the Bible teach about sin? What does the Lutheran Church believe about sin? And hopefully, we got out of it that we're all sinful. We're all born with sin, which is called original sin. That sin that's been passed down from Adam and Eve from the time they fell into sin. We're all born in that sin. But then there's also actual sin, which is pretty self-explanatory. It's the sin that we actually commit each day, which stems from that natural desire to want to sin, to want to do what's wrong, that's in us because of the original sin that's been passed down to us. Now, hopefully we also maybe understood, and hopefully we will by the end of this morning, understand that there is only one way that sin can be taken care of. And we saw this way back in the beginning in Genesis chapter 3, after Adam and Eve fell into sin, that God had a plan to restore that broken relationship between God and man. And that plan was to send his son into the world, Jesus into the world, to die on the cross, to bring forgiveness and life to us. Today we're going to look at two words that we may not use a whole lot, but maybe you've heard of them. Actually, you did hear them this morning already. They were in the hymn that we just sung, and they're also in the Romans reading that was read. Justification and sanctification. Doesn't that sound exciting to go over those two words in a message this morning? I'm glad you're in. Actually, justification is what I just talked about. It's that restoration process that God brings to us. To be justified simply means to be made just or made right before God. And there's only one way that that can happen. It's through Jesus. It's through his shed blood on the cross. Actually, just as I am without one plea, one of those verses said, justified by Jesus' blood. We are made right before God only through Jesus. That's what justification means. That's the restoration that we have. Our Romans passage for this morning really fleshes this out. It has some confusing phrases and verses in here. But if we look at Romans chapter 6, verse 12 through 14, it says, "Let not sin, therefore, reign in your mortal body to make you obey its passions. Do not present your members to sin as instruments for unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and your members to God as instruments for righteousness. For sin will have no dominion over you, since you are not under the law, but under grace." Now that we've been made right with God, we're no longer under the law. We're under God's grace. And this next section really points out, I gave you a little heads up on something last week that we talked about, cheap grace. If you remember right at the end, I gave you a heads up that we're going to deal with that a little bit in today's message. But verse 15 to 18 says, well, I may just do verse 15 and 16, but what then? Are we to sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? By no means. I want to just stop right there, because this is what Paul is talking about. He's talking about that cheap grace. Or because we're under grace, we're no longer under the law, does that mean we can just go freely sin and know that God forgives us? Paul's answer is, no way. By no means do we do that. But there is that line of thinking, I think, out there by some people who think, okay, God's going to forgive me so I can just go do it anyway, right? And I'm going to say that that's pretty dangerous to have that line of thinking, because in a way, we're almost tempting God. We're saying, okay, you can forgive me, so I'm just going to go do it anyway. And Paul says, no, that's not what it means to be, to not be under the law and to have grace. What it means is we want that relationship with God. We want to do what's pleasing in God's sight because He has forgiven us. We have been justified and made right before Him. It goes on with verse 16. Do you not know that if you present yourselves to anyone as obedient slaves, you are slaves of the one whom you obey? Either sin, which leads to death, so you're either obedient to sin, which leads to death, or of obedience, which leads to righteousness. We're either obedient to the sin, or we're obedient to God, which brings righteousness. But thanks be to God that you who were once slaves of sin have become obedient from the heart to the standard of teaching to which you are committed. And having been set free from sin, have become slaves of righteousness. And then verse 19, I am speaking in human terms because of your natural limitations. For just as you once presented your members as slaves to impurity, and to lawlessness leading to more lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves to righteousness leading to, and here's that word, sanctification. For when you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. But what fruit were you getting at that time from the things of which you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now that you have been set free from sin, and have become slaves of God, the fruit you get leads to sanctification and its end, eternal life. I mean, there's a few things in there that are really kind of all, I don't know, jumbled up, kind of hard to understand. First of all, there's a lot of slave talking in here. And I'm going to say that when we hear the word slave, we don't understand what the word slave is really talking about here, because in the Greek, this word could actually probably more so be translated servant, a master-servant relationship, because a slave brings a bad connotation in our minds here today. And so a slave or a servant-master relationship at this time was something that was a good thing. I mean, the master needed the servant to perform the task that he needed done. And so there was actually a better relationship between the servant and the master than when we think of master-slave relationship. And so when that relationship was strong, which it needed to be, the servant actually wanted to do what the master needed him to do. And so we are no longer slaves to sin, but we're slaves to God in a good sense, because we want that relationship. We want to do what's pleasing to God. We want to follow His will for our lives. And so then it brings up that this part here now, we've been justified, we've been made right by God through His Son, Jesus. Now the life that we live after we've been justified, that's called the sanctified life. That's the sanctification. That's a process now that we are living through as Christians, living out our Christian life. Now, I know you might have heard it explained this way before, and it's partly right, but a little bit off. But you might have heard it said, justification is what God does for us. Sanctification is what we do. Now, that's partly right, but I don't know if you noticed, who even brings about the sanctification in our life? It's the Holy Spirit, God working through us, because it said in that last verse I read, but now that you have been set free from sin and have become slaves of God, the fruit you get leads to sanctification. It doesn't say the fruit that you produce, the fruit that you earn, the fruit that you bring about. It says the fruit that you get, the fruit that you receive from God is sanctification. And so even our sanctified life that we live is led by the Spirit. Before we even say, okay, I want to do what's right before God, who has led us to say that? The Holy Spirit. Before we do a good act or an act of kindness for someone, it's the Spirit that has led us to do that. And so justification is certainly all of God's work. Sanctification is the work that's worked through us and by the power of the Holy Spirit, but then the things that we do in life in response to God's love for us. And so justification and sanctification, that's what those two terms mean. And I thought I would try to put it in practical terms here this morning, because I thought about this. We teach justification and sanctification every Sunday morning without using the words. We actually taught it this week at VBS. How many of you were at VBS this week in some way, form, or fashion? There are a lot of you here today that were there. Did you hear me say the word justification or sanctification during the week? No. Did you hear any of your teachers say the word justification or sanctification this past week? No. But did you know that's exactly what we taught? I want you to think about this for a moment, and I kind of went over it with the kids just a minute ago. But each day at VBS, we have a theme for the day. And the first day, the theme was God made you.
Wow.
You're supposed to go, wow, God. God made you. And that we looked at the story of creation and how God uniquely made each person in the world. The second day is we looked at the idea that God is for you. Wow, God. And the third day we looked at the idea that God is with you, always with you.
Wow, God.
And in those two, we really explored the idea of how as we live in the world, we live with sin. We are fallen, sinful people. That theme was brought out in each of those, the second and the third day. And that even when we mess up, what happens? God still loves us, which was the fourth day. The fourth day of VBS every year on Thursday is the story of the cross and the empty tomb. And we learned the idea of that whole day was God will always love you.
Wow,
God. And so what are those first 4 days? Is that not justification? We were created. We fell into sin. We're sinful human beings. We need the only way out is to have Jesus come and die for us and be raised to life to promise us eternal life. That's justification. And then guess what we do on the fourth day? We learn that God made you for a purpose.
Wow,
God. Some of you are catching on, or some of you already knew it, right? But God made everyone for a purpose. He's made people that can do all sorts of things. He made you that you can do some things that other people can't even do. But He made us all for a purpose, and that purpose is to share the love of Jesus with the people around you. To live our lives for Him, in obedience to Him. What is that? Sanctification, right? So we teach justification and sanctification. I hope that that's really what my message, our Sunday school classes, everything that we do here at the church, the core doctrine of the Lutheran Church is justification, that we are saved by God's grace through Jesus, period. And then what we do as Christians living out in the world is we live the sanctified life. We want to live for Him. We don't do it because we to earn His love. And in fact, I thought about this. If I were to think that somehow that I could do some really super good things and that God would love me more, and that in some way by doing those good things that I could actually earn my way to heaven, what have I done? I've minimized or probably completely destroyed the cross. Because if I can do good enough stuff that God will love me, if I can do some good enough things that I can get to heaven, guess what? I absolutely no longer need who? Jesus. Because I did it on my own. That is completely a false understanding of what God's Word has to say for us. And unfortunately, a false understanding that some people believe today, and maybe even some church bodies teach, that in some way, and certainly other religions, that in some way I have the power to earn God's love and His forgiveness. That is not what justification and sanctification are. Justification is, I have been saved by grace. I have been made right before God because of what Jesus has done for me on the cross. And now I want to live the sanctified life. I want to live for God. I want to share His love with the people around me. And then that is living out the Christian life. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we do thank You for this day. And Lord, we are so thankful that we do not have to rely on ourselves to earn Your love or to even earn a place with You in heaven, because we would never make it. We thank You that You have sent Your Son into the world to die on the cross to bring forgiveness and life to us. And now we want to, in response to all that You've done for us, we want to live our lives for You. We want to share Your love with the people around us. We ask that You give us those opportunities this week, that we can be a witness of who You are in our lives to the people around us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.